Well, I hope you've enjoyed going through Proverbs. I've been getting emails from people who have been going through it. I had a really interesting one this week. There was a man who had to report before the board of directors of a multinational corporation, and he said, you know, Sam, it's really tough to take a message that you're down 15% even though this is a depression. So he said it was really helpful to have the proverb of the day. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And he was able to say that even though we're down 15%, the industry's down 35%, so we hope that's kind of sweet news. And he said it carried the day. So if you're looking for guidance, this Proverbs of the Day will come to your email box. And if you're not getting that, you can get it now. Just send your email in to us at www.narotenchurch.org or look up any of our email addresses. We'll get you on that lineup. We're going to do it all through August. So today we come to the subject of work. I told you I probably am going to go from preaching to meddling, but don't just argue with me. Let's argue with Scripture. And I want to lift out these proverbs that are found in your bulletin this morning. So let's hear together God's word. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. And do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. And he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray for your wisdom to be like the gentle rain that brings life and growth and health and prosperity into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a young man I know who works for a large international accounting firm. And being a new hire in 2007, he went to Orlando where they were doing the induction for all the new hires all over the country. And one of the lead partners addressed all of these young, impressionable new workers and spoke about how you're joining a company and we want you to do work with integrity and we want you to be a part of a team, so learn each other's skills and help each other out. And we want you to find the right work-life balance in your professional and personal life. The partner was affirming to them that in order to be productive employees, they not only had to give their best, but they needed to take time off because serving their clients was a marathon and not always a sprint. And so as a newly married individual, he was glad to hear that message that he could maintain the right work-life balance from the top. I was glad to hear this too because I had heard about this company and that 90% of the people newly hired aren't there 5 years later because they usually burn out in the process. Well, let's flash forward to 2009. Less new hires are being brought into the firm. No raises are being given as they sort of tighten down in this tough recession. And the new mantra coming from the partners is not work-life balance, but be a high performer. Is the message being given before every personnel review. You know, in an economy where everybody's nervous about their job, the message is not too subtle. Work-life balance out the window. Be a high performer, contribute to the bottom line. That's the kind of dominating theme. Work affects us a great deal, doesn't it? You know, we're always struggling with, are we in the right situation? Are we in the right scenario? I have one friend who says, Sam, my whole work history can be summed up by having a job I loved and a boss I couldn't stand, or working for a boss that I really loved and admired in a job I couldn't stand. And as a pastor, you know, I've heard lots of people who have been getting the regular paycheck, desiring to finally own their own business. And I've equally heard people who own their own business and have the struggle of finding enough business, of getting all the receipts paid in, of covering the payroll, of making sure that insurance is covered, saying, you know, it would be nice to have someone else bringing in the business, making the paycheck, taking care of insurance, it's really hard for us to find the ideal scenario. Well, there's a lot of wisdom in our world today about finding what you'd like to do and how you would enjoy your work. The old mantra is find something you do for nothing, and then find somebody who will pay you to do that, and you'll be a happy man or woman. But Proverbs really doesn't talk about that quite so much. Proverbs assumes that we all have work to do. And so Proverbs talks to us not about strategy, how do you find what you should be doing with your life. Proverbs talks more about tactics. What should our business and work ethics be like? How do we find the proper work-life balance? How do we be Christian about the work we do? And Proverbs also assumes that paid and unpaid work is still work. So all of us who all have jobs to do have something to learn from the tactics that God would have wise men and women follow. And let me just limit myself to three of them, if I could, this morning. I chose these Proverbs, lifted them out, because they really fall easily under the titles of three different I's. And the first I is right there in the Proverbs. It's integrity. The Bible's very clear that wealth is to be gained properly. The Lord abhors dishonest scales. The Lord abhors dishonest practice. Unsavory, immoral ways of gaining wealth is one way to gain fleeting wealth. It comes and it goes because God knows who's using the right scales and who's not. And so it will come to light at one time or another, especially in this day and age. The internet. The information age means that if you've done something wrong, it will come to light sooner rather than later all over the world. Last September, there was a scandal of baby food being sold out of China. I don't know if you remember this, but they had milk powder that had sickened 1,200 children, and they found that 22 of 175 dairy producers had been producing milk tainted with a product to boost the protein content, but it was also used in plastics and in fertilizer, and it was poisoning the children. So from America to New Zealand, all around the world, the Chinese products were coming off the shelves. And according to the Christian Science Monitor, the problem isn't just that they don't have enough regulators over their food industry in China. The deeper, more fundamental challenge China faces is a systematic lack of business ethics, said one U.S. global health expert. Some people in China are willing to make a fast buck, and they don't care about integrity, but they won't last, and the whole system will fall apart if there's not honesty, integrity, and trust. And they're struggling with that right now. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them. It guides us to do what's right. It guides us to follow the golden rule, which is not that he who has the gold rules. That's the old Wall Street golden rule. The golden rule is treat others as you'd like to be treated. Well, how would we want to be treated in any deal that we're a part of? Fair and square. You know, we just want to be treated properly. That's what God calls us to do. So if you're in a business where that's not possible, where you can't live according to those kind of ethics, then integrity sometimes guides us to quit our jobs or to find a better place to practice the work ethic God calls us to. Early on in my married life, some of you know this, I was a Volkswagen mechanic for a year working in a VW dealership. If you have a VW now, that was 25 or 30 years ago, so I don't even know how your cars work now, but I did know how those early 70s cars worked. And the dealers are paid a certain amount from the national headquarters for all the warranty work that they do. Well, they have a thing called flat rate. The deal is that you're supposed to take this amount of time to fix this problem. But sometimes when you're getting into a tricky problem, it takes you longer. And so the mechanic complains, hey, it took me 2 hours, the warranty pays 1 hour. And so there's a temptation by the local dealership to cheat and to cheat the warrantying of the national company. I found out when I was working there that because I was an hourly employee, they were punching my time card and falsifying my work on warranty work and sending it on to headquarters. And when I found out, I confronted my service manager. And he said, what's the big deal? You're being paid, and this mechanic's not being paid, so we're just asking them to cover what they should, and this is the way I have to do it. I said, here's the big deal, and I was as polite as I could because I had been hired by this man. You're falsifying your records using my name, which is my integrity at stake. Don't do it. He wanted to fire me on the spot. Fortunately, the shop was being unionized, and he couldn't do that. And secondly, it would have brought to light that he was falsifying records and would have put them in a great scandal with the national headquarters. So while he made life a little more miserable, I was covered and he was controlled. Now, that was a pretty easy problem to resolve because I didn't care if I was fired. It wasn't my career. We weren't deep in debt. My wife had always said, we'll pick blueberries as long as we're doing what's good and right and makes us happy. We can get by. Where most of us get in trouble is when we begin to pile up the financial obligations and we begin to have all those worries. And then we're between a rock and a hard place because if we stand for our integrity and lose our income, we're into bankruptcy, and that's not an easy place to be. And so, therefore, I would recommend as your pastor to always do what you can to keep debt to a minimum and to try to find a way to pile up 6 months to a year in your retirement or home equity or savings so you can take stands for integrity. Because there will be difficult times out there as we work for others who don't share our standards, but we can sleep better at night as we do what's right and live up to that with the way that we conduct our business. I call integrity having a clear conscience before God. I think that integrity means being okay with any part of a deal that you've been a part of, whether you're the buyer or the seller. I think integrity starts in the small areas and goes to the big areas. And so that's why sometimes when I've been given an item in my bag and found out later I wasn't charged for it, I'll drive all the way back to the store and I'll give it back to them because I know that I've argued when they have overcharged me, so I want to make sure that I haven't underpaid them. Integrity is making sure you're right on both ends of the scale. Someone once said, character is what you do when you think nobody will catch you or no one's looking. And that's what we're talking about, because God is always looking, God will always catch us, and that's why integrity needs to be the calling card of the Christian. It needs to be the hallmark of how we do business. And when you have it, it brings inner peace, it brings a sense of respect and admiration from those that you really care about. It gives us a sense that we are contributing to God's economy and not the world system. Now, integrity is just part of how God calls us to deal in this world. It's easier to deal if you're owning your own business. I know that. It's hard in the pressured world we're in, but God calls us to aim for this and work towards it and be a part of his people with integrity. Second thing he calls us to is industry, right? Industry, hard work. 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay. You know, in a rural society, this like the setting of Proverbs, there was a really very direct relationship between your hard work and your standard of living. You sowed crops or you didn't. You harvest crops or you didn't. There were lots of chores that even the children were involved in, gathering the firewood for cooking and the water for cooking and cleaning and watching the animals who were going all over the place. And so children from an early age contributed, and the whole family understood that if we work hard, we can at least survive and possibly thrive. And if we don't work, we starve. And you'll see that. Proverbs compares and contrasts all the time. The rich to the poor, the hardworking to the lazy. What happens? Here's where we have a problem today. We turn on a tap and the water comes out. We flick a switch and the light goes on, or the heat or air conditioning comes on. We have people who show up and clean our house. We have people who show up and mow our lawn. We take our cars to places where people wash them. And there's almost nothing that can contribute to the household economy that children can be a part of. You know, I have to admit, when Pastor Greg asked about fun, I heard some kids say, weed, I thought weed. I thought they were weeding, actually. I realized, oh, no, no. No, they're playing an electronic game so they get exercise, you know? I mean, now, you know, we're in a community where academic achievement matters, and so our children often work hard when we get them to school, and that's very important, and that's a good lesson. But I think that there's something we need to think about as parents in this society if we are still are in that stage, and that's how can our children learn to materially contribute to the welfare of the family? I don't know about you, but I walk about every day in this town, and I've noticed more families mowing their lawn this year. That's one of the cutbacks going on. I've noticed more children out helping to rake leaves. That's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing, as hard as it is. And I think parents, we need to look for opportunities for our children to, again, contribute, to learn that whole lesson that hard workers are rewarded and loafers lose out. And you probably just have to be more creative because we've got all these labor-saving devices. But just realize this, our children have an easier childhood than most children in the whole wide world and most children throughout history. And they're not happy that I'm saying this today, but they will be happy if you teach them this lesson from early on, because children actually have fun participating with their parents, and it becomes something that they can learn from. So integrity, industry. Finally, our work and our life need to be conducted in balance. In balance. Partner of that firm that I told you about, Orienting the Young Man, had it right. We should be living our lives in balance, or as Proverbs 23:4 said, do not wear yourselves out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Isn't that just as applicable in our age as it was in ancient Israel? It is so tempting to work and see the reward. There are times we take time off and it doesn't feel nearly as rewarding or satisfying. But you know what? It's important to do so. I spoke to a wealthy man last month who's in his 60s, and I said, are you reaching that point where you might retire? He said, well, my wife would say that I've gone from working all the time to just working full time. Does that sound familiar? We know anybody like that? I mean, as the BlackBerry allowed us to step away from work and just keep in touch with a few details that we need to be in touch with, or has it stretched work from a sort of contained time to sort of all the time? You tell me. I don't have one. But it's a tool, and either we manage it or it manages us. Has trying to do deals in 24 time zones, so we're up in the morning early and we're up late at night, really meant that we get some time off in the middle? Or are we just doing more and more and more? And I know this is a time where, again, the mantra is contribute to the bottom line. Be a better performer. But it's something to manage, because here's the truth. God was incredibly productive in 6 days and then took one off. And if God needs to do that, who are we? We need to do that. And if we don't, it burns out our spirits, our souls, our marriages, and our physical health. You say, Sam, you don't know the demands of my business. I mean, we have to put in long hours. Well, I don't know what your business is, but let me just tell you about a friend of mine who put in the longest hours I ever saw. He was a medical student who had just finished med school, so he entered his residency. And if you know anything about residents, they put in about 100 to 120 hours a week, sometimes working 48 hours straight. And it's a little more managed this time, but this was about 25, 30 years ago. And so this man had no time. And he was married. He had a young child. He had a huge bill for medical school. And he had rent to pay. And so after the first year of residency, he did what a lot of doctors do. He moonlighted at night in an emergency room just for extra income. Now, this is just wasn't out of the ordinary. And yet this person was also such a committed Christian that when he was in med school, his church had asked him to be an elder because he was already a very spiritually advanced individual. And some of you have met him because he went to Israel with us this past year, Dr. Bill Wilson, my long-term friend. And I asked him, I said, how did you keep your balance? when clearly work and life were out of balance. How did you keep your faith in that time when so much was demanded from you? He said, Sam, it's really pretty simple. A small group. He said, I was a part of a church that put me in a small group, and we were with another couple who moved the night that we would meet around my on-call schedule. And just that place to have people praying for me and helping me stay focused on my faith kept the balance. And I share that with you because we have the same thing here. We have small group ministry where others can be praying for you and helping you and be a part of holding up these values. The values of living life in balance when you can get the balance back. Living life with industry, giving our best wherever we go, and living life with integrity. You know, God gives us good things to pursue, and I love this last verse. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life and prosperity and honor. And that's it. Pursue righteousness and love. Pursue God. And God will make everything else fall into place. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this call. We also thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps. And so give us that spirit so that we might be men and women who can participate in this world with integrity, industry, and balance. In Jesus' name, amen.